Good morning, everyone. We're glad that you've joined us online. And for those of you who are here with us live, we thank you so much for being here. We continue this week to move through the book of Matthew. And as we do so, it's my hope that we'll see something today that will that was revolutionary in Jesus' day, but is still revolutionary for us today. And as we it's something that I think we need to grab a hold of in the midst of all of the things that are going on around us. So I hope that you'll stick with me here. Let's begin by discussing what we read the past week. No, let's begin with our scripture reading. See, you do all this and you think you've got it set up, but you don't. Will you please stand in honor of the reading of God's word as we read together Matthew chapter 5, verses 27 through 37. Let's read together. You have heard that it was said, you shall not commit adultery. But I tell you that anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to stumble, gouge it out and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to stumble, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to go into hell. It has been said, anyone who divorces his wife must give her a certificate of divorce. But I tell you that anyone who divorces his wife, except for sexual immorality, makes her the victim of adultery, and anyone who marries a divorced woman commits adultery. Again, you have heard it that it was said to the people long ago, do not break your oath, but fulfill to the Lord the vows you have made. But I tell you, do not swear an oath at all, either by heaven, for it is God's throne, or by earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. And do not swear by your head, for you cannot make even one hair white or black. All you need to say is simply yes or no. Anything beyond this comes from the evil one. All right, you may be seated. I want to begin by talking about what we read this week, and I'll get this all situated next week, I promise. But this week we read chapters 5 through 7, and we began the first two verses of Matthew chapter 5. Tell us who he's talking to. Now, if you have your Bible and you'll turn there, I want you to see this because I think many times we think that that Jesus was simply talking to the crowds. But that's not what the Sermon on the Mount, it's not who it is directed to. If you look in verse 1, it says, when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him and he began to teach them. Now, there were crowds, obviously, there at the Sermon on the Mount who were listening to Jesus. And so there is a sense in which Jesus was preaching to the crowds. But the reason for these teachings are for those who follow Christ. So I think that is that's essential for us to remember as we talk today. And as you read the Sermon on the Mount again later in your devotion sometime or the next time you pick up Matthew chapter 5, 6 and 7, remember that Jesus is speaking and teaching here those who are his followers, not just any old schmo off the street. Okay? Now, these principles that he teaches obviously will work for any old schmo off the street, but they mean so much more to the one who is committed to following him. All right? So I just wanted to make that point, and so now we can go on. In chapter 5, verses 3 through 12, Jesus teaches the Beatitudes. These are nine disciplines, nine attitudes of the Christ follower that set them apart from the world. Okay? And this would be a great series in and of itself. In fact, there is a series online in morning devotions on the Beatitudes that we did way back in like this last summer. So if you want to check that out, you can. That might be pretty good. Shameless plug. All right. Next, Jesus talks about being salt and light in the world. All right. And then Jesus talks about his fulfillment of the law. And then the rest of chapter 5 is a discussion on that law. This is the part where Jesus is constantly saying, you've heard it said, but I tell you. And that's what we're going to focus on today. Not so much what he said, but the principles behind what he was saying there, and hopefully glean some insight on that as well. So then that whole rest of chapter 5 is a discussion on the law. Then in chapter 6, Jesus begins to talk about outward versus inward holiness. He talks about prayer and fasting and giving. And all of these things, Jesus says, you can do it on the outside and look holy on the outside, and that's wonderful and that's great, but what we really want, what we're really looking for, is an inner holiness that comes, that doesn't need the praise of men, okay? And so that is that portion. Then Jesus begins discussing earthly things, treasures in heaven, not being worried about what you're going to wear or what you're going to eat, and those types of things that Jesus eventually comes to the end of that passage, and he says, seek first God's kingdom and God's righteousness, and everything else will be added to you as well. Then in chapter 7, there's Jesus talks about judgment and who judgment is reserved for. And again, this isn't judgment in the sense of judging right and wrong, or if someone is doing right or doing wrong. This is judgment declaring who's right with God and who isn't. All right? That's what this judgment is. Then he talks about the narrow ways, asking, seeking, knocking, the narrow and wide gates. Then he has a discussion on truth and falsehood, true prophets, true disciples, false disciples. And then Jesus concludes the message by reminding his disciples to build on the right foundation, and that is the Word of God. And then we end with the people's response, which is overwhelming in its scope. It says, man, this guy, he teaches with authority, not like our teachers of the law. And that was the beginning of the end for Jesus, because he made himself better. Well, he didn't make himself. God made him better than the teachers of the law, and they did not like that. So today I want to discuss that section in Matthew chapter 5 that we talked about, where Jesus spends time discussing with the disciples what it really what it means to truly obey the law. And so we read that passage, and I would like to begin now with a word of prayer, and then we will jump into things. Let's pray. Lord, we love you. Lord, we are thankful for all of the things that you have given to us. We thank you for our salvation. We thank you for your word. We thank you for how it helps us to be connected to you, to understand who you are and what you are calling us to do and to be. I pray, Lord, that as we open your word today and as we seek to understand what Jesus is doing here, that we would be able to not only see it, but be able to apply it in other areas of our lives as well, so that we might truly be the kind of followers and the kind of worshipers, the kind of Christians who are making a difference in this world. I pray this all in Jesus' name. And I pray too, Lord, that the words of my mouth would not be my own, but that they would be yours. I pray that you would use them in the power of the Spirit to accomplish what needs to be accomplished in each of us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. When I was a young kid of about 6 or 7 growing up in the home of a pastor, there were certain things that you just took for granted. You always dressed up for church. You always took a bath on Saturday night. You never wore a hat in the church building. You addressed the older folks with Mr. and Mrs. or Miss. You never ran in the sanctuary. Things like this, right? And if I ever strayed off the path of these granted truths, there was one person I knew who would put me back on the straight and narrow. My grandmother. My grandmother was a staunch woman who believed that the church building was holy ground and that there should never be anything but piety and holiness and seriousness in the church. Thinking back, I only remember my grandmother smiling in church on very few occasions. Now, she was a happy person and she smiled a lot, but in church, very somber, very serious. As I grew up and became a teen, I began to study the scriptures for myself, and there were times that I challenged my grandmother to lighten up a bit. I didn't use those terms because I would get back of the hand to the back of the head, if you understand what I'm saying. But it's interesting to note that many of those challenges ended up with us getting into an argument. In fact, it was on one of those occasions that we had our final conversation on this earth. And it's one of the biggest regrets of my life, to be honest with you. But the point I'm trying to make is this, that so often we think we have a grip on what we're supposed to be and to do, and then we find out we've got it all wrong. That we really missed the true meaning behind the truth or the command that God was giving us. Jesus brings out in Matthew chapter 5, verses 17 to 48, a whole grocery list of things that the law stated to the people of Israel, and he takes them and he turns them on their side so that the people can get a different perspective. He's not changing the command, but he's challenging them to rethink it because they've believed and held as absolute a certain way of thinking. But Jesus wants them to catch the meaning and the heart behind the command. In fact, Jesus says in verses 17, "Don't think that I've come to abolish the law or the prophets. I've not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them." Jesus says, "I am here to fulfill the law and the prophets. Not just through my life, but I want to teach you how you can fulfill the law and the prophets in your life." I think so many times we think that, you know, Jesus came, he came to abolish the law, or he came to fulfill it so that we wouldn't have to keep it anymore. And folks, that's just not the case. You know, we take passages like "it is for freedom that Christ has set us free," and we think, yes, we're free to do whatever we want. And yes, in many ways we have been freed, but what we are free from is we're free from the power to have to sin. We're not free from being able to do we're not free to do whatever it is our hearts or our bodies feel like doing. And so what I want us to do, and as you hopefully have read this week, this passage, maybe more than once, Jesus, instead of looking at what Jesus has to say about the law or murder or adultery or divorce or oaths or revenge or how to treat your enemies, I would like to look at three principles that I think we can glean from all of these things. And hopefully it will help us as we navigate through our lives and see what the whole of the scriptures have to tell us. Okay? So the first thing we see as Jesus is teaching in chapter 5 here is that the letter of the law is only the beginning. The letter of the law is only the beginning. We must know the law, right? We must know what God's word says. We have to read it. Folks, listen, you can't read or you can't know what God has to say if you're not willing to read his word. It doesn't work that way. Let me say something about the Holy Spirit, okay? Right here. The Holy Spirit wants to lead you. He wants you to know who He is. He wants to be acquainted with you and you acquainted with Him. And when He speaks, He wants you to listen, because He's going to give you specifics. That's the wonderful thing about the Spirit, is the Spirit guides us into truth. The Holy Spirit guides us not to different truth or more truth, right? But He guides us as we apply that truth to our lives. But if we don't know the truth, the Holy Spirit can't guide us the way He wants to, right? It's like knowing the instructions and then getting into building the thing and then maybe finding a way that is easier to put it together. Oh, you're still doing every step, but you add something or something else comes along and gives you clarity, right? That's what the Spirit is doing. But we can't do that if we don't, He can't do that if we don't know the truth. Then we need to obey the truth. We need to obey the truth. We need to not just know what the truth is, but then say, okay, that's the truth. I'm going to follow that. I'm going to do that. I'm going to live my life in with that as a guideline. I'm going to live my life saying, okay, that's what I'm going to do. But then we need to keep it. And you think, and I know what you're saying, Pastor, what's the difference between obeying the law and keeping the law? Okay, let me illustrate by something that David said in the Psalms, right? David said, I love your law, O Lord. He said, your word have I hid in my heart. He said, I meditate on your word day and night. What happens is when we first come to Christ, or when we first read something in God's Word and we begin doing it because, well, the Bible says so, right? I'm going to love my enemies because the Bible tells me to love my enemies. Or I'm going to do what the Bible says because it tells me to. It's out of duty that we obey, right? But it is out of love that we keep, that we treasure, that we begin to see a bigger picture, and which leads us to the next part of what I want to talk about, and that's the spirit of the law is where we need to be obedient. Okay? First thing I want to share is this, that we need to obey from the heart. Right? This is a place, this obedience needs to come from a place that says, I am doing this not because I have to do it, but I'm doing it because I love my God, and this is what He is asking me to do. I love God with all of my heart and with all of my soul, with all of my strength, and so I am going to do what He has commanded me. We also need to obey with emphasis. What do I mean by this? Well, here is something that I want you to think about, and as we continue to read through the New Testament, and as you hopefully are going back and reading the Old Testament again, I want you to understand something, that God never gives a command that He doesn't also give a blessing for the obedience of that command. Now, sometimes it's not obvious, but it's there. For example, when God commands us to not commit adultery, it is because He knows that the best way to enjoy the act of love is in a marriage relationship where you are committed to one person and they are committed to you. And that is the most loving way to experience the intimacy between a man and a woman. Where adultery, when we commit adultery, we begin to erode that wonderful blessing that God has given us. These blessings and these commands, they all come from God's love. And so when we obey out of love for Him rather than duty to Him, we are obeying with the proper emphasis. And thirdly, we need to obey completely. We need to obey every time, not just when our minds or our hearts want to obey. Don't let anything keep you from being obedient. Now, I want to finish with one other principle that I want you to see and I want you to understand, and I want to spend some time on because I think, well, I really don't want to be misunderstood here, okay? Third point is this, that the way that we deal with God's law says a lot about who we are and what we say we believe. Let me say that again. The way we deal with God's law says a lot about who we are and what we really believe. So the question is, do you know God's law? Do you know God's word? One of the main reasons that we've spent the past 3 years going through the Old Testament and this year going through the New Testament is so that you will know God's word. And I hope and I pray that all of you have been keeping up with the reading, because quite frankly, you know, we are in the home stretch here. To read through this love letter that God has sent to us so that we can know what it is that He wants us to do. And so if you don't know God's law or God's word, you need to. And that's why I challenge you, not only here, but during morning devotions and all the time, read it for yourself. Read it every day. Don't miss a day. Read God's word. Even if you're only reading 2 or 3 verses a day, read it, think about it, put it in your heart, memorize it, study it, follow it, obey it. Secondly, do you obey God's law or God's word? If you don't, you need to. Obey out of love for God, not just duty to Him. Now, listen, let me make a point of clarification here. I'm not saying that you don't ever obey out of a sense of duty, because there will come times when God asks you to do things that you really don't have a heart to do. And it is in those moments when we must put duty ahead of how we feel and say, yes, God, I will obey you. But here is the beautiful thing, is when we obey out of duty, right, God then shows up and He begins to work, maybe not necessarily in the person or in the situation, but in us, so that now we see the benefit of the command, and now, okay, I'm going to do it not just because I know I have to, but because I really, really want to. So do you know God's word? Do you obey God's word? Do you keep God's word? Do you keep God's law? Now listen, this is where I think the rubber meets the road for most of us. Is God's word something that we hide in our heart? Is it something that we commit to memory? Is it something that we treasure? Sometimes I fear that the freedoms that we have here in America have made us as Christians soft. What do I mean by that? What I mean by that is that, you know, we know that any time we can pick up our Bible and read it, we can turn on our phone and go to the Bible app or look it up online and read it whenever we feel like it, whenever we want to. And that's great. And that's a wonderful blessing that we have as believers, especially in a country like America. But brothers and sisters, can I warn you that I believe a day is coming and may be here quicker than we care to admit, where we're not going to be able to have a Bible, where you're not going to be able to find it online or on your Bible app, where those things are going to become contraband and illegal to have? You know, Jesus shared an illustration, and we'll get to it in the book of Matthew, I think next week, actually, as you read through it. But you remember, Jesus said that the kingdom of heaven is like a man who found a great treasure in a field. And he took that treasure and he buried it in the field, and then he went out and he sold all that he had so that he could purchase the field and then own the treasure. This is the treasure. And my question to you is, what are you willing to sell, to give up, so that you can own this treasure? Not the pages, not the ink, not the leather that it's bound with, but the very words of God buried in your life, becoming a part of who you are every moment of every day, thinking about, okay, what does God have to say about what I'm doing right now or what's going on right now? If God's word and God's law isn't something that you keep, then we need to ask God for His Spirit to give us a passion for His word and a willingness to obey. So I want to challenge you to do just that. I want you to know God's word by reading it every day. I want you to learn how to obey God's word out of a love for Him. And I want you to keep God's word close to your heart so that it permeates every bit of your life. When I was a kid, my brother and I would love to get new games for Christmas. Board games, card games, video games, you know, whatever. We love to play games. Now, he would always beat me at whatever game we played. He was 4.5 years older than me, and apparently his brain worked faster than mine. It probably still does, actually. But we would get these games, and we would play them a couple of times, but then the third or fourth time, we would try and improve the game by changing a rule. Now, we'll change this rule here, and maybe we'll let this piece move in this direction, or we'll let this card actually mean this, or whatever. And by changing the rules, we'd always wind up angry with each other. Because you can't do that. That's not part of the rule. Well, yeah, we just made that rule up. No. You made that rule up, dude. That's not in the directions, right? And we'd always come by, and eventually we'd, as my wife can attest, one of us would either, it would come to blows, or one of us would storm out of the house, or something like that would happen. But in the same way, there's too many of us Christians who try and do that with God's word. We say, yeah, I know God's word says to love your enemies, but I think it would be much better if I hated my enemies and just, you know, love those who love me. Or we say, yeah, I know that what God said about adultery and all that, but, you know, I really can't control myself, so I'm just going to let myself do that. When people choose to try and change God's laws, they wind up hurting not only themselves, but also the people they love and those around them as well. Friends, don't be like those who want to change the rules to fit the way they live. It doesn't work like that. Instead, learn to know, obey, and keep God's word. Because when you do, you will not abolish the laws of God. You'll fulfill them. And isn't that what we want to be like Christ in that way? Let's close in prayer. Lord, we thank you for who you are, and we thank you for Jesus. We thank you for your word, and we thank you for how you have given us everything that we need to live a life of godliness. And I pray, Lord, that as we as we seek to keep your word, as we seek to hold it close, as we seek to hide it in our heart, as we seek to not just know it mentally and obey it outwardly out of duty, but to really keep it in a sense, in a way that really brings honor and glory to you. I pray, Lord, that our spirit would be in tune with your spirit and that we would know what it is that you have called us to do. And Lord, as we begin to know your word and hide it in our heart and really think about it and know it, Lord, your spirit then can take what we know and what we have hidden and help us take the steps we need to take, Lord, so that in every step we will not stumble. Lord, we want to know you. We want to obey you. We want to keep your word because there is no greater thing. Help us to do what you have called us to do. In Jesus' name, amen.